Darnell Show Live is intended for responsible adults only. We advocate for the repeal of marijuana prohibition for adults. We discuss the science, culture, and controversy about America's marijuana laws. We do not advocate or encourage any illegal activity and advise all listeners to learn their state and federal marijuana laws by visiting normal.org, N-O-R-M-L.org. Opinions and claims made by guests and advertisers of Normal Show Live are their own and do not necessarily reflect the philosophy and policies of Normal. Listener discretion is advised.
You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it, and it goes down smooth. Hey!
Spanning the continent to bring you the truth about cannabis and marijuana law reform.
I smoke pot and I like it a lot.
From the promise of legalization.
And I think we need to rethink and decriminalize our marijuana laws.
To the agony of prohibition. Well,
one major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
The National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws presents...
We love the earth.
Normal Show Live! Marijuana Nation! Now, here's your host, Normal's Outreach Coordinator... Belleville.
Good afternoon, tokers and tokettes. It is Tuesday, March 1st, 2011, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. Thanks for joining us. We've got a great show coming up for you this Tuesday. All sorts of fun and guests in the studio. And of course, we always start off with our primary guest, the co-host, the pirate, Ganja John.
What's up, Russ?
Oh, man, we are going to have ourselves a good week. Already it's getting good, and it's just getting better as we roll along. All sorts of fun guests. Let me run this down for folks. Of course, today is Electric Tuesday, so we'll be going out to Cannabis Cure UK to get the latest electronica music that he's got for us from DEE, Street Fighter Rhythm. Then, at a half past the hour, some really good news from New Jersey. The medical marijuana patient that we featured in one of the New Jersey hearings, the one who was having... trouble in court because the program was being delayed by the governor. Well, he's free now. He's free from those charges. David Barnes will be joining us to tell us all about that story. And then to lighten us up even some more, a guest from Helium Comedy Club here in Portland, Oregon, Ron Funchess will be here. Great comedian. Ganja John's seen him a couple times. He's a big fan. We'll have a lot of fun. But before we get to all that, let's go to Grastoria, Oregon, and our own Cannabis Carry.
I was thinking I must be the tertiary guest since John's the primary.
Oh no! Now I feel bad. No, you're co-primaries.
Okay.
We're like Simon and Garfunkel.
That's right, Carrie. We would never think that of you. How are you doing up there?
Great, and I actually like that word tertiary. I'm totally okay with it.
You're okay with tertiariality? Okay. So Carrie's got our hemp headlines for us right after this first break. So what's in the news today?
Well, today we're going to talk about a bill that will put the kibosh on a booming industry if it goes through. Also, we've got some fresh K2 news. You know, that creeps up in the news every now and again. And we're going to go to Minnesota, where we'll talk about a medical marijuana bill, but it's not what you think.
Oh, all right. We'll take a look at that right after this first break. We also want to make sure that you check out our advertisers. We got a new advertiser, one of our own Normal chapters, United States Virgin Islands Normal. Also, folks, March 1st, today is IHOP's International Pancake Day. It's Pancake Day. Go get yourself some pancakes. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Normal Show Live, the voice of the marijuana nation.
In today's busy world, we're inundated by advertising for all types of pharmaceuticals that come with a laundry list of potential side effects. Shouldn't you have better medical choices? Natural alternatives to pills pushed by Big Pharma? At Alternative Medical Choices, you could choose natural, safe, and effective alternative therapies that are right for your budget without nasty side effects. Cannabis, or marijuana, has been a legal medicine in the Pacific Northwest since 1998. Our doctors will help determine your qualifications for a medical marijuana recommendation in Oregon, no matter where you live. Our massage therapist will ease your aches and stress with soothing hemp seed oil or cannabis-infused massage salves. We also offer acupuncture, Reiki, and other alternative health therapies. Call Alternative Medical Choices in Portland, Oregon at 503-288-5579 or visit our website at www.altmedchoices.com. We specialize in out-of-state recommendations. That's www.altmedchoices.com or call 503-288-5579.
Normal National Conference 2011, Denver, Colorado, April 21st through 23rd.
I'm not a crook.
When President Nixon declared war on marijuana smokers, Normal was founded by a young lawyer named Keith Strupp. And now, in our 40th year, Normal is coming of age as states begin discussing outright marijuana legalization.
Entirely legitimate topic for debate.
Join us in Denver, Colorado, the day after 420 for our 40th annual National Conference. You'll learn about marijuana law, cannabis science, and the grassroots activism necessary to end prohibition. Set in the Mile High City, America's cannabis capital. Special guests include medical marijuana pioneer and Harvard Emeritus Dr. Lester Grinspoon, U.S. Congressman Jared Polis, and Normal founder Keith Strupp. Normal National Conference 2011, coming of age in Denver, Colorado, April 21st through 23rd. It's the true Rocky Mountain High. Medical marijuana, industrial hemp, consumer cannabis. It's time for this week's Normal News with Cannabis Carry.
A bill in Colorado aimed at banning medical marijuana edible products will get its first hearing today. House Bill 1250 is aimed at the ever-increasing and popular medical marijuana edibles newly created industry that includes the traditional brownies and now everything from ice cream to barbecue sauce to pizza, strudel, and even soda pop. House Bill 1250 is sponsored by Republican Cindy Acree and would prohibit medical marijuana-infused consumable food and beverage product manufacturing and sale. The Republican lawmaker, however, stresses that the bill would not do anything to prevent patients from making and consuming edible marijuana products on their own. With the amount of opposition, the bill seems like a hard sell to get enough lawmakers on board to pass, but nevertheless, medical marijuana advocates opposed to the bill are planning on packing the hearing this afternoon to protest this bill passage. Representative Acree told the Denver Westward that she thinks the bill is necessary to prevent confusion among Colorado consumers. She said things like pot tarts are showing up on school grounds and that the medical marijuana edibles have no regulated doses of marijuana. She believes that even patients are being misled by many of the products. One dispensary owner says that even though the bill will actually help her business, she says it will ultimately hurt patients. Sean Gindy, dispensary owner and member of a medical marijuana advocacy group called Compassionate Pain Medication, says that there are too many patients that now rely on edibles, and doing away with the edible market would do nothing but boost medical marijuana sales. She said that most dispensaries would benefit from going back to just selling usable medical marijuana, but on an ethical, moral, and plain old common sense point of view, it is a ridiculous law to try to pass. The hearing is drawing a large crowd of medical marijuana advocates and is scheduled this afternoon.
Well, I don't think Representative Acree has much chance of getting this through, but I just want to look at her, you know, reasoning for wanting to do this. Why? Why do you want to ban? She says that because there's not enough regulation, they don't know what's in them. Well, fine. Come up with some regulations. Come up with some standards if that's your concern. But the fact that there are no standards means you should ban the whole thing? It's a little bit of cutting off your nose to spite your face, isn't it? And furthermore, isn't the problem they always say about medical marijuana is that there's no such thing as smoked medicine? You can't smoke it. And so here we come up with a safer alternative for these people for smoking. You know, there's vaporization too, and tinctures, and now these edibles. But now you want to say the patient has to make those all on their own? Well, that's part of the problem too, is that this is not necessarily easy to do. It's not necessarily easy to cook this stuff for some of these people, especially the most disabled people who would need the help. Furthermore, cooking in and of itself, even without cannabis, is not something that everyone is necessarily good at. Why not let the professionals, the chefs, the people who know about cooking and how to make things taste good, let them do the cooking like they're doing it now? I mean, Colorado just went through creating this whole infused product manufacturer category. It's far too soon to be throwing this out. I think it's a smart idea to lead people away from smoking and to edibles, and it's something that the Colorado legislature should just continue to support.
And I told you in November that the DEA had finally gone after the substance marketed as synthetic marijuana under names like Spice or K2. It was back then that the DEA announced their plan to ban the herbal concoction that is made up of actual inert herbs that are sprayed with a chemical compound that contains a synthetic marijuana-like substance containing JWH-018, 073-200, and JWH-250. The product is already illegal in many states, including Kansas, Georgia, Alabama, Tennessee, Missouri, Louisiana, Mississippi, Arkansas, Oregon, and Illinois, Michigan, and Kentucky, and a few more that have bills in the works. Formerly, you could buy the product in truck stops and head shops around the country. And back in November, the DEA said they would move to ban the substance with their emergency powers within 30 days of their announcement. Well, it's far more than 30 days since the DEA spoke synthetic marijuana, but before 9 a.m. today, the federal agency announced that their much-discussed emergency ban will go into effect beginning this morning at 9 a.m. Any distributors of those products, mostly made in China or the U.K., where it is also banned, are selling officially illegal wares starting today, March 1st. The temporary ban will last for one calendar year, while the agency works to make the substances and combination of substances more permanently illegal. In a press release this morning, the DEA top administrator, Michelle Leonhardt, said that young people are being harmed when they smoke this dangerous fake pot product and wrongly equate the product's legal retail availability with being safe. She said the agency is looking to is being looked to from parents and community leaders to help them protect kids, and that with the ban, they are not letting them down. Even though the press release does not mention the military, military officials have been decrying the increased usage rates in soldiers who presumably use a substance that is already officially banned in the armed services to escape the routine drug tests that they are subjected to, which do not yet test for the substance. The Navy's Atlantic and Pacific Fleets disciplined 113 sailors for use or possession of synthetic marijuana in the fiscal year that ended on September 30th, and at least 180 sailors have faced allegations of using it since, according to Lieutenant Alan Agares, a Navy spokeswoman. Synthetic marijuana bus netted 28 sailors at the Naval Air Station in Pensacola, Florida, and 15 crew members on the aircraft carrier George Washington last year, 16 sailors on the amphibious assault ship Bataan this month, and the Air Force disciplined 260 of its personnel over allegations involving synthetic marijuana in 2010. The Army and Marines have not released their synthetic rate bus for 2010 just yet. In the past, and in some states that have tried to ban the chemical substance, manufacturers of these kinds of products did not stop making or selling the so-called synthetic marijuana, but simply switched to a similar chemical that is still legal, something that will most likely happen rapidly under the new ban. In the days since their November announcement of going after the so-called fake marijuana, they added two more chemical compounds, CP47 and CP497, or cannabisclohexanol, to the ban. By this time next year, that list will probably be much, much longer and even more difficult to pronounce.
Okay, look, if you have a little sprint that you want to put together, a race, and in one lane you put the legal system and in the other lane you put prohibition chemistry, guess who wins every time? It's prohibition chemistry, folks. Look, you know the numbers they're banning here, right? JWH-018, 073, 200, and 250. Doesn't that suggest to most of you there that there's at least 250 of these out there? Well, sorry, 246 now, that are still legal? And how do we know the upper bound is 250? They started numbering with 018. That suggests to me they were anticipating up to 999 of them. So there will always be some sort of synthetic that manages to get you high, that manages to duplicate the effects, manages to be an agonist to the cannabinoid receptor system. There's always going to be that. And all we found here is by banning the one that's natural, that grows out of the ground, people turn to these chemistry sets to try to come up with something similar. It's just so painfully obvious that people like to get high. It's just painfully obvious. People like to smoke pot. It's been around. People have been smoking it for a long time now. Throughout centuries and millennia, it's been used for its psychoactive properties. There are always going to be some people who want to do it. There's always going to be some people that are able to grow it, no matter what you do. So by continuing to throw up these hurdles on people, these drug tests and these bans and these prohibitions and mandatory minimum sentences, all you do is get enterprising chemists some work to do, and of course clog up our courts and our legal system with more of these things. You know, really, what they ought to do is the DEA ought to just say, if anybody ever invents anything that makes you feel good and isn't patented, barcoded, marked up by a pharmaceutical company, it's illegal.
This isn't a brand new idea in Minnesota, but House representatives in the Minnesota legislature have proposed a bill that would allow resident farmers to grow medical marijuana for resale to dispensaries in states where medical marijuana is legal. House Bill HF-0662 was authored by Representatives Phyllis Kahn of Minneapolis, Tom Rukavina of Virginia, Frank Hornstein of Minneapolis, Tom Huntley of Duluth, Karen Clark of Minneapolis, and Jeff Hayden of Minneapolis, and also Leon Lilly of North St. Paul. They are all members of the Democratic Farmer Labor Party. Dubbed the Medical Marijuana Production and Export Act, it would direct the state government to develop a strict licensing plan for the potential grower and to provide sites a positive economic benefit for the state's agricultural sector. According to the Minnesota Independent, the bill was introduced to the Minnesota House last week by DFL party members and was referred to the Agriculture and Rural Development Policy and Finance Committee for review. The text of the bill, HF-0662, reads in part, quote, "The legislature finds that the production and export of medical marijuana can contribute to the state's economy and agricultural vitality and can be regulated so as not to interfere with the strict regulation of controlled substances in the state. The purpose of the Medical Marijuana Production and Export Act is to strengthen the state economy and its agricultural sectors by authorizing the development of a regulated medical marijuana production and export industry while maintaining strict control of marijuana." Minnesota then-Governor Tim Pawlenty vetoed medical marijuana legislation in 2009 that made it through both the House and the Senate. Had he signed that bill 2 years ago, qualifying patients from the state would have been allowed to use medical marijuana as a legal treatment option. This is the second time a bipartisan group of state representatives have introduced a similar bill, but the first time around, it failed to get the necessary votes. It might do better this time.
Okay, so Minnesota, a state that doesn't have medical marijuana, has a bill to produce medical marijuana for the other states that do have medical marijuana. That's kind of interesting. I mean, of course, I support farmers, and I support the growing of medical marijuana, and anything that gets marijuana to more patients is fine. I, of course, don't know how they get over the whole interstate shipping part of it, how the Minnesota weed gets out of Minnesota without the federal government taking a big interest under its interstate commerce clause. And even despite that, though, I can't imagine what it would be like to be a patient in Minnesota, knowing that they're growing some medicine for you right there, but they're shipping it to Colorado and Montana and Oregon and Washington and California and all other places that you'd have to go to be able to use it legally. How cruel is that to turn to patients like that and expect them to see it growing in their own state, but not be able to use it, be criminals if they happen to use it for medicine. It's an interesting idea, but I don't see it going very far. Minnesota, just do the sensible thing and legalize medical marijuana for everyone. I've got some more news for us. Also, tomorrow, March 2nd, is Normal's 40th birthday. So we are really excited to be bringing to you some a new clip from Peter Tosh. It's not a new clip, but it's one that we found in the Normal archives, we believe from 1976. And we've been in negotiations with Sony Music and the Tosh family. They are re-releasing digitally remastered copies of Peter Tosh's Legalize It and other great albums. I believe it's April 16th. When they'll actually get re-released. I can't tell from the calendar, but it'll be close to 420. They're re-releasing these, and so we have been working with the Tosh family, gotten their permission to re-release this Peter Tosh 60-second ad campaign that we recorded back in 1976. It's actually Peter Tosh's voice. We'll play that for you tomorrow. Just wanted to let you know that was available. Also, for celebration of Normal's 40th anniversary, we will have the founder of Normal, Keith Stropp, will be here talking talking about 4 decades of marijuana law reform. He was there in the beginning when Nixon was declaring it public enemy number one, and he's been there ever since. We will talk to Keith Straub. He'll be here live at the last portion of our first hour and staying for hour two to take your calls live here for Normal's 40th birthday. So tomorrow on Normal Show Live, you can call in and speak to the founder of Normal, Keith Straub. Ask him your questions, thank him for his work, whatever it is you want to do, that'll be on tomorrow's show. So make sure you check that out. Also coming up on Friday, we've got our exclusive interview with the Dirtball from the Cottonmouth Kings out of Bend, Oregon. He's got a new album, Nervous System, that just dropped yesterday. Was it today?
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. It drops today. That's right. We talked about it yesterday, but it drops today. So check out Nervous System. You can get that through subnoiserecords.com. Cottonmouth Kings probably have something up on it. Dirtball.com.
Everywhere.
Everywhere.
It's all over the internet. And if you pick it up at FYE, you can get a bonus disc. So that's
all
awesome.
Right.
I think it's time for a break, Russ.
It's time for a break. We got folks in the studio. We're hanging out, having a good time. Ron Funches is joining us later on. David Barnes from New Jersey. We're back after this.
It's 20 after the hour, and we have to take a short break, if you know what I mean. Please support these sponsors who support Normal Show Live.
Oh, have you ever met that funny reefer man? A reefer man. Have you ever met that funny reefer man? Reefer man. If he said he swam to China, he would send you South Carolina. Then you know you're talking to that reefer man.
Normal Show Live reminds you to never consent to a search. If you're holding and you consent, in most states you will be arrested immediately and you will go to jail. If you don't consent to a search, police may try to intimidate you by threatening to bring in drug-sniffing dogs or try to fool you by saying things will go easier if you consent. Yeah, easier for them, sure. Stand your ground, refuse the search, and ask the officer if you're free to go. If they still detain you and eventually find your contraband, you'll be no more busted than if you had allowed the search. But by refusing the search, your attorney has a chance to win your acquittal before a judge. If you consent to the search, your attorney's hands are tied. You can find a list of Normal Legal Committee attorneys specializing in marijuana cases by visiting the Find a Lawyer link at normal.org.
It's time for your daily Toker Tunes, the best in 420-friendly music from all genres that uplifts, entertains, and informs the public. Our PodSafe music is donated by freedom-loving musicians who support our goal of ending adult marijuana prohibition. Today we bring you tunes for Electric Tuesday, our segment featuring the best of modern electronic music in the genres of dance, new age, house, and electronica, brought to you by Greg in Surrey, Sussex, England, and Cannabis Cure UK. If you'd like to submit your song to be played on Normal Show Live, send it to us at stash@normal.org. Now, here's some great independent marijuana music for today's Daily Toker Tunes.
Cannabis. Hey there, Stashers. This is Cannabis Cure UK, bringing you Normal Show Live's Electric Tuesday. Today, I've got a little bit of grime for you. DEE is one of the best known MCs in the grime scene due to the fact that he's regarded as a veteran in the scene as well as having a distinctive flow and style. DEE used to be a member of the 187 crew with Jammer and Armour. The group were invited to join the Nasty crew. They accepted apart from Jammer, who didn't join after NASTY. We're in contact with a record company and he was approached to work for the production. After being one of the earliest members of Nasty Crew, Double left the collective due to disagreements which thought to revolve around the fact that DEE used the prestigious Nasty Crew name to secure solo bookings. Double also left the crew with Footsie and Monkster. And these MCs also, along with DJ Tubby, established the grime collective, the Newham Generals. The Newham Generals are currently signed to the label Dirty Stank, a label established for former grime MC Dizzy Rascal, and their debut album, Generally Speaking, is due for imminent release. The Newham Generals have a regular slot on the pirate radio station Rinse FM. This is DEE and his track Street Fighter Rhythm. I can't get this one out of my head. Enjoy it, light up. This guy is a big weed consumer. Check out the lyrics. He likes the red eye. Peace out, guys.
Oh my gosh. It's DEE. Old type swerve on production. It's street fighting time.
Round one, fight!
If it's me, you're mad at. You get a scar on your chest like Saka. Street fighting, that's what I'm bad at. My team working
perfect.
I come through with a beat up on dark. Give man a under slap like Yonder. Give me the mic and let me ride it with them. Cause I speak the fire just like South Ham. I'm a Liverpool invader. Climbing to the top just like Vega. You be me, nobody can save ya. On the mic, I'm way too major. Cause I'm shocking MCs like Blanca. I got money in the bank, I'm a banker. You ain't got money in your bank, you're a wanker. I'm quick with the hooks like Bullrock. Get the razor jumping like a bullfrog. And I've been doing it for more than a while. In the game, I'm a soldier like Niall. So, cause you're big like Zangie. Don't think you could ever try Big Man Green. You don't wanna get into no Big Man beef. I'm here, if you wanna live it cool. I'm that Dyson. Sucking up MCs like a Dyson. You can spit bars if you wanna come a Dyson. You can spit bars, give it your best try, son. Boss to the end like M. Bison. In a war, start waving goodbye, son. Liverpool levels are too high, son. No word of a little light, son.
I'm perfect.
Like she fight a fall. We can fit a call, man. The street fight a fall. Man, I'm stepping at the gates of the wall. Straight to your jaw. Think it's a game like she fight a fall. Would you fit the call, man? The street fight a fall. Man, I'm stepping at the gates of the wall.
Tiger.
Straight to your jaw. When my CD hits the shelf. Bet you any money, no one's gonna buy you. I'm a Liverpool black belt like Ryu. I'm the original like Bruce Lee. You're just an imitation like Phelan. I come up to crew all day long. One by one, when the day's on. Show me the money, yeah, pay me the wall. Cause I want a big belly like Rufus. If I don't get that, I'm going on ruthless. Hurricane kick will leave a man toothless. Try what you want, your combos are useless. I'm a weak consumer. Get my eyeballs red like a Kuma. Everybody's waiting, it's gonna be sooner. DEE, it's not a rumor. Like she fight a fall. We can fit a call, man, the street fight a fall. Man, I'm stepping at the gates of the wall. Straight to your jaw. Think it's a game like she fight a fall. Would you fit the call, man, the street fight a fall. Man, I'm stepping at the gates of the wall. Shake to your jaw.
In the final fight, I'm the guy. God. Everyone wants to be my Cody. Cause you know you won't be able to get a perfect or get close. Let me give him a Liverpool dose. Just like chicken pure, man, get rose. As soon as I bust my silver. Old school G, just like who can hit them with the R, you can hit the new can match my level, let's see if you can beat this, let's see if you can. You be the judge, you be the jury. Look into my eyes, see the fury, you be pissed like a fury. Sick in the end, nobody can cure me. Like she fight a fall, we can fit the call, man, the street fight a fall. Man, I'm stepping at the gates of the wall. Straight to your jaw, think it's a game like she fight a fall. Would you fit the call, man, the street fight a fall. Man, I'm stepping at the gates of the wall.
Tiger.
Straight to your jaw.
Blocko, blocko.
You want a copy of that song for your iPod? Check out the Daily Toker Tunes at the Stash blog by surfing to stash.normal.org and choosing Media, and then Toker Tunes from the main menu.
Starfish Designs, makers of the original Gandalf.
I'm Radical Russ, and when I want to relax, I always have my 17-inch-long original Gandalf from Starfish Designs nearby. The hand-blown borosilicate glass is strong and easy to clean, and the design is sleek and sophisticated. Starfish Designs are available from Bend, Oregon at a glass retailer near you. For locations, call 541-788-GLASS. That's 541-788-4527.
High in the Rockies. For the first time ever, High Times is hosting the Medical Cannabis Cup in the Mile High City, Denver, Colorado. Come to the High Times Medical Cannabis Cup. There'll be cultivation seminars with High Times editors Danny Danko and Nico Escondido, plus other experts and cannabis celebrities. Attend activism seminars with leaders of the medical marijuana movement, including advice on how to start your own cannabis business. Meet industry leaders in medical cultivation, hydroponics, smokable glassware, hemp products, dispensary supply, cannabis accessories, and more. Plus, Medical Cannabis Cups will be awarded to the best indica, sativas, concentrates, and edibles entered by legally operating medical marijuana dispensaries and growing collectives. And don't forget Saturday night when the Medical Cannabis Cup will host the extravaganza with surprise musical guests. The High Times Medical Cannabis Cup, April 2nd and 3rd, 2011 at Exto in Denver, Colorado. Visit medcancup.com for details. Be part of the growing cannabis industry. Come to the High Times Medical Cannabis Cup in Denver.
The most devastating effect of the war on marijuana is that it is a war on everyday people like you and me. All week, we speak to the doctors, scientists, celebrities, and politicians who make up the professionals fighting for cannabis liberty. But we never forget about the tens of millions who use cannabis, the millions who need medical access to cannabis, and the hundreds of thousands arrested every year for cannabis, and the tens of thousands imprisoned under our marijuana laws. At Normal, we are the Cannabis Consumers Lobby, and we take this opportunity to share the experience of our cannabis community.
All right, welcome back, everyone. We're a little early on our time queue, so we're still waiting a phone call in from David Barnes. He's a medical marijuana patient in the state of New Jersey, and of course, New Jersey has been a state that's been very difficult for us to talk about in many ways, just because of the way the governor there, Governor Christie, has been holding this program hostage. The medical marijuana law was passed over a year ago, and it was a fairly restrictive medical marijuana law, the first in the United States that does not allow home cultivation by patients, restricted to just six dispensaries in a state with something like 8-9 million people, the most densely populated state in the United States, for sure. I believe David is calling in right now, so we'll get him here on the line. And here we go. David Barnes, are you there? Hello, David? Okay, not hearing David. All right. Well, the medical marijuana program there was passed over a year ago. And while they are going to have six dispensaries and no home growing, what they have tried to put together under the Governor Christie administration is far worse than that. What he has done basically is allowed the law to pass. Well, he had no choice. The outgoing Governor Corzine had signed it. But as he came in, everyone knew that he wanted to have nothing to do with medical marijuana. So he's put all these obstacles in the way, and we go now to our telephone line, and we see if we get David Barnes on the line. David, can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Oh, David, thank you so much for joining us. We're glad to have you here. You're calling in from New Jersey, and I was just kind of filling people in about how the New Jersey medical marijuana law passed, and then Governor Christie has been doing everything he can to try to obstruct it. In this case, though, Governor Christie's obstructionism affected you directly. Tell folks your story about how you got in trouble with the law and what these obstacles have done to you.
Okay, about a year ago now, I had some friends who live in the next town over. They were away on vacation. So I went over to plow their driveway the night before they got home. Unfortunately, I got stuck. I don't usually plow snow. So I'm not real sure of exactly what I was doing except to try to push it in a direction. Mm-hmm. So I got stuck. I went to the neighbor's house. I asked the neighbors for help. The guy called my wife, his wife called the police, said there's a scary person at the front door. Oh. Police came over, said I smelled like marijuana. I told them I had some in my pocket that I used for medical purposes, and I was arrested.
And this is before the law had passed or during its...
This was after the law had passed, okay. But okay. Before it was implemented.
Okay, go on.
So I was arrested, went to jail for a couple of hours, and I appeared in court about 3 weeks later, and I met with the municipal prosecutor in the town, and we discussed different dispositions of the matter. There's something in New Jersey called a conditional discharge, where if you don't get in trouble for a while and you can take clean drug tests, they'll discharge the record. There's a municipal ordinance you can plead guilty to, but I asked her to dismiss the charges. I told her that I didn't think there was any justice to be found in prosecuting patients. Mm-hmm. My doctor was with me. He explained just the brutality of what I go through when I have a seizure. And, you know, after some talking to, she agreed that, you know, once the Department of Health and Senior Services came out with cards, that she would dismiss the charges. Yeah. That was a year ago.
Right. And that, of course, was the problem, is that while the law was passed over a year ago, the Christie administration's put these roadblocks up. They've put these ridiculous regulations that they want to try to ram through. And they kind of force the supporters of medical marijuana into a bad situation, because yes, you want to protect patients, but you don't want to, you know, hamstring the program so that it can't work. And that's where you got caught in the crossfire, because the judge was waiting for these cards that were never going to be issued.
they might be issued. That's still up in the air. You know, one of the things with this is that, you know, the governor's kept saying over, both times I've spoken to him, he said that he wants to make sure that we do it right. You know, it's fine to do it right, but when you haven't done it yet and people are suffering, it's not right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's just, at the end of the day, that's all there is to it.
Now, wasn't there a situation in your case where the judge was willing to take some information, or to, if he heard from the governor, or you had spoken to the governor and he had given his word that it would be? Inform folks about how the governor got involved here.
I appeared in court over the last year. I think I had 9 court appearances, 8 or 9. At one of them early on, when I went back to see the judge a second or third time, he looked at me and said, you know, keep on top of the people down in Trenton and report back to me when you come back of the progress on getting this implemented. Just so happened I had a court appearance on Thursday and Governor Christie was speaking a couple of towns over on Wednesday. So I went over and spoke to him and I looked at him and I said, you know, Mr. Governor, the judge has told me to keep on top of the people in Trenton. When I go to court tomorrow, I can tell him I went right to the top and spoke to you. What do I tell him? And the governor told me to tell him that I should have my card in October.
Uh-huh. And it was that your only...
Was that the only encounter
with the governor?
No, I went back and spoke to the governor again at another town hall meeting. Another town hall meeting, a couple towns in the other direction in December, and told him that, you know, in September you told me October. It's now December, and in December he told me to look for it in January.
Mm-hmm.
Today's March.
Yes, it is, and we're speaking with David Barnes, who's a patient in New Jersey who's been going through the ringer here with a state that has legal medical marijuana, but a governor that won't let it happen. What have you been doing as far as activism or pressure to try to get the governor to get this ball rolling?
I've spoken to the governor twice. I've gone down to Trenton, to our state capitol, and spoken to the assembly and the senate committees on health. I'm very disabled. I suffer from this completely unpredictable and unknowable seizure disorder that with no reason and for no warning, I just start vomiting, and I do so every few minutes for a day, 2 days, 3 days sometimes.
Wow.
You know, I can lose, my worst time ever was 9 days straight. I lost 34 pounds.
Wow.
I'm less than 200 pounds to begin with, so it's a significant amount of my body weight.
Mm.
I try to get out and do things, but unfortunately, you know, I go through this almost weekly.
Mm-hmm. And to do all this, to be making these trips, to go see the governor, to go to Trenton, all of this, I mean, that's got to take not just a physical toll on you, but a financial toll.
This is New Jersey. There's nothing that's real, real far away from anything here.
Yeah. Okay. But, I mean, the time, though, that you have to take out to
well,
do
yes.
this. I mean, goodness.
Yes.
It's a shame here. Now, are you involved in working with any of the medical marijuana groups there in New Jersey?
I've been trying to participate as best I can with the Compassionate Medical Marijuana Project here.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, like I said, my illness really, it's just my reliability because of the unpredictability of my condition is just really horrible. You know, I don't buy tickets to go places anymore because chances are I'm not going to be able to make it.
Mm. Boy, what do you think the chances are within 2011 of Governor Christie's administration finally issuing cards?
My hopes are high. I'm not a gambling person, you know, but my hopes are still high. I take the governor as a man of his word that this is something that he wants to do. You know, New Jersey is kind of proud about the fact that they have by far the most restrictive medical marijuana rules in the country. There's a whole lot of easing up that they can do on those rules and still be called the most restrictive rules in the country.
Yeah, no kidding.
There's a whole lot of room to ease up in there.
Yeah. What do you think of the not being able to grow your own medicine?
I don't have any opinion on that.
Mm-hmm. So
I don't think that the doctor should come between the patient and or the state shouldn't come between the patient and the doctor. You know, and if a patient can do something that the doctor says and stay out of the system, then, you know, I'm all for that.
Mm-hmm. What do you think about these regulations that the governor's proposing as far as, you know, limiting it to 3 strains and less than 10% THC?
I think that that's the biggest problem with the program. It makes it so that it's unworkable. It's not, it's taking baby aspirin for a migraine headache. Hmm. That's what I'm talking about, stepping in between the doctor and the patient. Doctor knows what's best for his patient and should be able to tell him such. State doesn't tell doctors how much OxyContin they can prescribe people. It doesn't tell them how much Valium or anything else, you know. Why do it with marijuana?
Mm-hmm. So do you think that it's worthwhile for the proponents of medical marijuana to oppose this program starting with those kind of regulations? Is it worth it to wait for a card to get the program to work the way it should?
I believe it is, yes. Mm-hmm. I would rather see a program that was functional than one that was put together with the intention of going back and fixing it later, because, you know, it's taken a year to get this far. You know, I can't imagine how long it would take to fix once they start something.
Mm-hmm. No kidding.
You know, I'd rather see him do it right the first time.
Yeah, yeah. And speaking of your use of medical cannabis, how did you come to realize that medical cannabis would be an effective solution for you?
My doctors first recommended it in the late 1990s.
Mm-hmm.
Just because of my lack of response to pharmaceutical remedy. The pharmaceutical remedy that they have me on now is designed to render me unconscious. It makes me incoherent for a day or more when I take it. I'm gone. My wife calls it the zombie pills. You know, when I wake up from them, she can point me in a direction and I just go. There's no quality of life when that's the way when you live like a zombie.
Mm-hmm.
You know, marijuana doesn't do that to me. You know, but I've tried so many medicines over the years. You know, I've tried medicines that give me kidney stones, heart palpitations, insomnia, dehydration, anxiety. I've run the full gamut of side effects, but none of them has helped me.
Mm. Wow, you know, we hear this story, and every time I hear it, it just it blows my mind that people would oppose giving people a plant to help them when the pills can't, or, you know, instead of the pills. It blows my mind. And David, I'm so glad that you've told this story. Has your use of medical cannabis, you said late 1990s, has this ever been a situation where you've had to fear for getting in trouble with the law before this current encounter?
Every single day.
Yeah, yeah.
Every single day. You know, I worried that something like this could happen to me. You know, it's just, it doesn't do anything to promote well-being when, you know, the only way to help yourself is to be a criminal.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm a criminal in the state of New Jersey for trying to ease my suffering. And, you know, I'm so glad that the judge and the prosecutors did the right thing. You know, they're the ones who deserve the credit for this, because they did the right thing by recognizing that there was no justice to be found in prosecuting me for being sick.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, in the states of Montana and New Mexico, there's movements to repeal their medical marijuana laws. And part of the reasoning some of the opponents give is they say it gives the wrong message to the children that marijuana is okay and safe. How do you respond when you hear that?
I cringe. I cringe when I hear such just misinformed statements being made. You know, just because you make them over and over doesn't make them any more true. I think it's right to teach children that it's a medicine like a lot of other things are. You know, we demonize marijuana like it's some exotic radioactive isotope that's going to, you know, turn our children into little zombies if they even hear someone talk about it. You know, it's time for a change in this country.
Absolutely. And because of people like you willing to speak out and willing to tell their stories like this and not backing down in the face of a governor who's very much antagonistic to the program, you are definitely one of our freedom fighters. We thank you so much for putting up this fight and for coming here on Normal Show Live and telling people about it. David Barnes from New Jersey, thanks for joining us.
Oh, thank you, Russ. Thank you. You know, the people, I don't deserve any credits. People like you who've been out there fighting the cause for years now, you know, you're the ones who deserve credit for the advances that have been made. And my thanks go out to you for that.
Oh, well, we'll leave it at that. I appreciate the compliment. Thank you so much, David Barnes. When we come back, we'll be in the studio live with Ron Funches here, and we'll see you later.
USVI Namalgo, broke down barrier. Herb is medicine to broke down barrier. Boost the economy and broke down barrier. It's helping other states, broke down barrier. Cannabis for legalized to broke down barrier. Join and speak your voice, broke down barrier. We gonna change the law, broke down barrier. We got to educate, broke down barrier. Yeah, this is Nayora, you know, bigging up USVI Normal. Working to legalize cannabis, you know, for the whole of the Virgin Islands.
USVI Normal is a non-profit organization working to legalize cannabis for the use by the industries and responsible adults. Do your part. Join USVI Normal. Register to vote. Pass the word. Voice your opinion. You can change the law. Contact us for more information at 340-244-9179.
As High Times Senior Cultivation Editor, I'm often called into the field and asked to sample or even identify exotic strains of marijuana in their natural habitat. Now, for the first time, I've compiled more than 120 of my favorite strains into this single field guide designed to fit into your pocket as you travel the world in search of your favorite plant. From Friend's Closet Grow Room to the wilds of Northern California, this single guide covers all of today's best-known strains, plus heirlooms and throwbacks, including High Times quality photos and information on each variety's genetic heritage and growing characteristics, plus my personal notes on aroma, flavor, and potency. So this is Danny Danko, author of the official High Times Field Guide to Marijuana Strains, wishing you good times and great ganja.
Legalization, decriminalization, lowest law enforcement priority, medical marijuana, ganja sacrament, consumer cannabis, industrial hemp. The world of marijuana law reform involves many different aspects of cannabis that interact nearly every public policy discussion in America, including healthcare, the economy, global climate change, law enforcement in prisons, immigration, religion, free speech, energy policy, and war. Now, we take a look at how re-legalizing marijuana will change the world in our normal show live, Cannabis Conversations.
Can I say something real quick?
Absolutely.
Russ? That sounded way too serious for what this is going to actually be.
Well, we have yet to put together a comedy intro, and it's becoming painfully obvious we need one.
Yes.
So we'll think of something. So welcoming to the studio from right here in Oregon, Helium Comedy PDX, Ron Funches.
Hi.
How you doing?
Good. Thanks for having me.
Is this your first time ever on a marijuana show?
Yes.
Hey! Oh, hi! We broke his cherry.
Yeah. But he was on Comedy Death Ray, and a lot more people listen.
Well, there we go. Well, there it is what it is, man. Glad to have you here, man. What's happening?
I'm just doing comedy, trying to stay alive, and enjoying the rain, mostly.
Oh, my God, yeah, the rain like crazy here in Portland. You know, you've been on the San Francisco Sketch Fest you were mentioning just before and doing a lot of work in stand-up here. How many times here at Helium?
I'm in Helium every month or so.
Yeah.
Doing shows. I'll be back April 16th, I believe, for Dana Gould, who was a writer for The Simpsons. Helium's great club. I recommend you going down, even if I'm not there.
Oh, yeah. It's an awesome club. My brother Josh was saying he saw you MC there one time. Really, really loved the show. A lot of your comedy involved with marijuana users?
A little bit. I think it just permeates the whole act and my demeanor, mostly. It's more, I talk a little bit about it. But I use it way more than I talk about it.
Is it good for coming up with routines and such?
Yeah, definitely helpful.
Yeah.
I like to... It's helpful for brainstorming, and then I like to go back and re-edit a little bit more clear-headed.
Yeah, yeah. Is it ever worth doing to get real blazed before a show? Is it good for the performance aspect or the writing aspect?
It's good if it's a horrible mic. Like the mics here can be like 3-4 hours long, and if you don't want to have to listen to, because for every good comic, there's 5 or 6. Want to hear, so you can end up being very well, I guess, medicated, as you guys would say,
yeah,
before the end of the night.
Yeah, yeah.
Always. You know, I wanted to touch on some of your act, actually.
Okay.
You talk a lot about your son with autism.
Yeah.
You want to expand on that a little bit?
Yeah, I will have a son. He's 7 years old. His brother, he'll be 8 in April. He was diagnosed with autism when he was about 2 years old. And we've been living with that ever since.
Yeah, and I noticed, like, in your comedy, you and I have talked about this before, you take a way different approach to having a baby than a lot of comics do. It's like, I have a baby now, so I don't make dick jokes. But you know how it is. I mean, I think you were telling me how you look at it a different way. It's more of a, you got to look at it the same way before you have a child and after you have a child, see comedy in everything.
Well, the best thing about having a child was just things became fun again, like Christmas, and more video games became a lot more fun to play with. And my son's like the rowdiest one in the house, so it's not, you know, you don't have to really let things go around him. He's like a little dictator. You know, he runs everything, and if you don't do something, he'll bend your pinky backwards. Like, that's not a joke. He'll just
go ninja on you.
Bend your pinky backwards. And if you don't let him, then he'll stump on your foot and scream. So you have to let him bend your pinky backwards because that's your best option.
So I'd imagine your marijuana use is pretty good for bending your pinky backwards.
It's good stress management.
Yeah. You know, we interview on our show a woman named Miko Hester Perez, and she got a lot of TV time, Good Morning America, Today Show, and all that because she's a mom who's using medical marijuana to help treat her child's autism, gives them a little cookie and stuff like that. Is that anything that you've ever heard of or thought of?
I've heard about it. It's something that I've just recently heard about. I haven't really looked too much into it. I think my son, being 7 right now, might be a little too young
for
something. I want to look into that. But with his sleep issues, sometimes he won't go to sleep. I didn't think he went to sleep today till 8 in the morning. So there's definitely times where I think it could help.
Yeah,
but I think not at this age.
Yeah. It's something that I always found fascinating when we were interviewing her too, and I understand that, like, different types. There's different autism, you know, a whole spectrum of how it affects kids, and her kid, to be, you know, he was like, you know, 300 violent episodes a day, and just, you know, eating his shirt kind of stuff. So
yeah.
it was like, you know, I can see how she was desperate to try something that would help.
I know that. I'm not unaware of that situation. There's definitely times I can't say I have never thought about I've thought about it, but not yet. At the end of the day, we end up, you know, I want him to be a little older to make more of his own decisions about what he wants to do as far as medication and things like that.
Yeah, that's cool. That's cool.
That's great. Where else was I going to go with? We'd made the mistake of getting really stoned before.
Well,
the show.
See, I was working.
Mistake.
Yeah,
I was working, and I had it was the intermediary. I had to keep passing it around the rest of the folks here. So so I will control this ship. We will steer it straight, man.
Well, we've been talking about Russ and I have been seeing a lot of comedy lately, and we've noticed obviously, you know, marijuana's infused into the comedy circuit. You know, do you see a lot of that on the road? A lot of comedians. I know, you know, when we were backstage with Brian, he gave me permission to talk about this, by the way. He wouldn't smoke before a show, but you and I did. You know, every comedian different in that sense?
I think, yeah. I mean, usually, I don't think we may have smoked after my set. But
yeah, it was after the set.
But
right.
The show was still going on, because usually I won't smoke before my set either.
Right.
But every comedian is different. But I think definitely in Portland, marijuana is definitely infused in the comedy community.
Yeah, definitely.
When I go travel to, like, Los Angeles or, you know, Seattle or other places, it doesn't seem to be as much as Portland seems to be. I often said that the crest for Portland comedy will be a marijuana leaf with, like, a frowny face, because they're often depressed.
Well, yeah, you got that gray and a continuing chance of wet for about 7 months. You know, that leads you to want to get out and get some comedy, I would think.
Absolutely. Pain equals funny.
Have you? How long you lived up here in the Pacific Northwest?
For about 10, 11, 12 years.
Yeah?
I'm not sure. Again, we did get stoned.
Well, what's your favorite stuff about being up here in the Pacific Northwest? I mean,
I just like the atmosphere. I grew up in, I was born in Los Angeles and grew up in Chicago.
Yeah.
And it's a little more fast-paced,
yeah.
A little more aggressive, and I like the more laid back atmosphere of here, and it definitely seems better than New Jersey.
Yeah, after that interview, no kidding.
So
the no garden state, we call it around here.
It seems so weird, the place that like is so known for like drinking and like gambling and bad things, but I guess that's also like Las Vegas, right?
They're
pretty, but never makes sense to me.
Well, I was reading a little blurb that said there was a bill afoot in Nevada to get rid of brothels. It's like, what's left to go to Nevada for? Yeah. You can gamble anywhere, right? It's pretty much, there's no point in going back to Nevada now.
There's no reason to go to Las Vegas ever. I don't like Vegas? No, I don't gamble and I don't really drink. So last time I went there, I spent the whole time reading a book by Mick Foley.
I like that book, actually.
So I call that place the Death Star. I don't, anytime I have to go through there, I don't like it.
Yeah. So, Portland, Oregon is statistically speaking the whitest city in America. What's it like being here in Portland as an African American man?
I don't know. I'm not used to that anymore. It's normal.
Yeah.
I'm used to being the only black guy anywhere I go. Don't know if anyone knew I was black until we just said it right now.
I got a camera.
Oh, hello.
Hello.
Well, that's how that goes.
I know. I'm originally from Boise, Idaho, and my cousin Kenny is African American. We used to always make the joke that we were going to go over to the black neighborhood, Kenny's house. That was it. That's the whole neighborhood.
Closest to the black neighborhood, right? Because there are black people in Portland. It's just segregated.
Yeah, it's really weird that way too. Man.
It is weird like that.
You're talking about all the redlining they used to do in those neighborhoods. They couldn't sell houses outside of that neighborhood to people who were African American. That's still, the neighborhoods are still divided that way, man. It's just amazing. And
it gets passed down.
Yeah, the old Cannabis Cafe used to be there out in Northeast Portland, and
we spent a lot of time. It was a great location.
Oh yeah, I loved it.
Yeah, now we're just, our Cannabis Cafe is just down the block, and I need to take you there, by the way.
Yeah, I'd love to go there. That'd be wonderful. Do you guys see any other, like, Portland comics that you enjoyed around town?
Oh, yeah, Gabe. I see a lot. And we've, at the Cannabis Cafe, they've been doing comedy nights, too. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, it's been funny. Carrie from Portlandia was over there. You were in an episode of Portlandia, weren't you?
Yeah, I was in the season finale. Baseball. I was a baseball player who played baseball badly. I had to act really well because I'm really good at baseball. So it was a challenge.
Yeah.
Now, when you were coming up, had you always been doing comedy, or did you switch to comedy from some other vocation, any other job?
I switched it over from the vocation of bagging groceries and being a bank call center employee.
Oh, yeah.
That's what I did before. I always, I always worked with words. I guess.
Yeah.
I didn't really like to do real work. I work with my hands. My hands are still soft, and I enjoy that. But
yeah. Somebody needs to. Somebody needs to enjoy that. Right on.
But I think that's something that my son helped me with when he was diagnosed with autism. It was kind of a wake-up call of, if he's different, maybe I'm different. Maybe I got to do what I'm going to do and just do it. I can't imagine doing anything else. I love it. It's taking me places I've always wanted to go and meet people I always wanted to meet, like hanging out with Brian Posehn and knowing a person named Ganja John.
Yeah.
No, that turned out. What was your first comedy gig? What was it like?
The first, I did an open mic down at Harvey's Comedy Club.
Oh, yeah.
And I did about a 6-minute set about man boobs.
That fits our show right here. They always say smoking pot gives you man boobs.
I think eating Cheetos gave me man boobs.
Yeah. I think I was born like this. So I even wore, like, there's a, I looked it up. It was so nerdy. I spent all day like researching what I was going to do for my set. And then I found out that some people wear like ladies' pantyhose if with the crotch cut out, and then their arms through the leg holes. So I bought a pair, and I wore that under my shirt, and then at the end of my set, I took my shirt off, and I was like that, and I got a good laugh. And now it's something I'm completely embarrassed about.
Now, was this before or after YouTube?
this was post-YouTube era, luckily no one
caught it.
No, but there is a video of me on YouTube shirtless that's been around for years that people use to judge my comedy.
unfairly. Oh man, Ron Funch is working at the Helium Comedy PDX here in Portland. You got a Facebook page people can check up on?
Sure, they can get me on Trish's Facebook, Ron Funches, FUNCHES. I'm also on Twitter. Look me up there.
All right, and you say April 16th is the next gig you're
at Helium? Yes, I'm also doing a show at Hangover Helper at the Tonic Lounge.
Oh,
which I believe is on the 20th of March.
Right on. All right, folks. Well, we got to wrap things up for hour one for Ganja John and Cannabis Carry. I'm Radical Russ. Thanks, Ron Funches, for coming here into the studio. David Barnes for calling in from New Jersey. Stick around for hour two, Toker Talk Radio. We're going to hang out, play some more music. We're going to play that Ray Stevens video. I forgot to play it yesterday for you people. And we're going to play it here in hour two. Plus more music from the Dirt Ball. More talk with me and Ganja John. Until next time, take care of each other, Tokers.
This is Normal Show Live, the voice of the Marijuana Nation.
Take it on one more time. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it, and it goes down smooth.